but that was enough. The flames at the rear of the truck swayed forward and came back and settled in to burn. They roiled the air around them and licked out horizontally under the sills and climbed up the doors. They spilled out of the rear wheel wells, and fat coils of black smoke came off the tires. The smoke boiled upward and caught the breeze and drifted away south and west. Reacher leaned into the Yukon and took the rifle off the seat. The flames crept onward toward the front of the Tahoe, slow but urgent, busy, seeking release, curling out and up. The rear tires started to burn and the front tires started to smoke. Then the fuel line must have ruptured, because suddenly there was a wide fan of flame, a new color, a fierce lateral spray that beat against the front of the house and rose up all around the Tahoe's hood, surging left and right, licking the house, lighting it, bubbling the paint in a fast black semicircle. Then finally, flames started chasing the bubbling paint, small at first, then larger, like a map of an army swarming through broken defenses, fanning out, seeking new ground. Air sucked in and out of the broken window, and the flames started licking at its frame. Reacher dialed his borrowed cell. He said, "The center house is alight." Dorothy Coe answered from her position half a mile west out in the fields. She said,
"That's Jonas's house. We can see the smoke."
"Anyone moving?"
"Not yet."
Then she said,
"Wait. Jonas is coming out his back door, turning left. He's going to head around to the front."
"Positive ID?"
100%. We're using the telescope."
"Okay," Reacher said. "Stay on the line." He laid the open cell phone on the Yukon's hood and picked up the rifle. It had a rear iron sight just ahead of the scope mount and a front iron sight at the muzzle. Reacher raised it to his eye and leaned forward and rested his elbows on the sheet metal and aimed at the gap between the center house and the southernmost house. Distance, maybe 140 yards. He waited. He saw a stocky figure enter the gap from the rear. A man, short and wide, maybe 60 years old or more. Round red face, thinning gray hair. Reacher's first live sighting of a Duncan elder. The guy hustled stiffly between the blank ends of the two homes and came out in the light and stopped dead. He stared at the burning Tahoe and started toward it, and stopped again and then turned and faced front and stared at the pickup truck parked across the far end of the driveway. Reacher laid the front sight on the guy's center mass and pulled the trigger. Chapter 58. The 338 hit high, a foot above Jonas Duncan's center mass, halfway between his lower lip and the point of his chin. The bullet drove through the roots of his front incisors, through the soft tissue of his mouth and his throat, through his third vertebra, through his spinal cord, through the fat on the back of his neck, and onward into the corner of Jacob Duncan's house. Jonas went down vertically, claimed by gravity, his stiff fire-plug body suddenly loose and malleable, and he ended up sprawled in a grotesque tangle of limbs, face up, eyes open, the last of his brain's oxygenated blood leaking from his wound, and then he died. Reacher shot the rifle's bolt, and the spent shell case clanged against the Yukon's hood and rolled down its contour and fell to the ground. Reacher picked up the cell phone and said, "Jonas is down." Dorothy Coe said,
"We heard the shot."
"Any activity?"
"Not yet."
Reacher kept the phone against his ear. Jonas's house was burning nicely. The whole front wall was on fire, and there were flames inside, throwing orange light and shadows all around, curling flat and angry against the ceilings, gleaming wetly behind intact panes of glass, spilling out through the broken windows and leaping up and merging into the general conflagration. Smoke was still blowing south, and heat, too, toward the southernmost building. Dorothy Coe's voice came back.
"Jasper is out. He has a weapon, a long gun. He sees us. He's looking right at us.
Reacher asked, How far back are you?
About 600 yards.
Stand your ground. If he fires, he'll miss.
We think it's a shotgun.
Even better. The round won't even reach you.
He's running. He's past Jonas's house. He's heading for Jacob's.
Reacher saw him, flitting right to left across the narrow gap between Jonas's house and Jacob's, a short, wide man, very similar to his brother. On the phone, Dorothy Coe said,
He's gone inside. We see him in Jacob's kitchen, through the window. Jacob and Seth are in there, too.
Reacher waited. The fire in Jonas's house was burning out of control. In front of it, the white Tahoe was a blackened wreck inside a ball of flame. Glass was punching out of the house's windows ahead of flames that followed horizontally like arms and fists before boiling upward. The roof was alight. Then there was a loud sound, and the air inside the house seemed to shudder and cough, and a hot blue shimmer gasped out through the ground floor like an expelled breath, clearly visible, like a force, and it rose slowly upward, 1 second, 2, 3, and then the flames came back even stronger behind it. Dorothy Coe said,
Something just blew up in Jonas's kitchen. The propane tank, maybe. The back wall is burning hard.
Reacher waited. Then the ground floor itself burned through, and there was another cough and shudder as the flaming timbers tumbled through to the basement. The left-hand gable tilted inward, and the right-hand gable fell outward, across the gap to Jasper's house. Sparks showered all around, and thermals caught them and sent them shooting 100 feet in the air. Jonas's right-hand wall collapsed into the gap and piled high against Jasper's left-hand wall, and gales of new air hit fresh unburned surfaces and vivid new flames leapt up. Reacher said,
This is going very well.
Then Jonas's second floor fell in with an explosion of sparks, and his left-hand wall came unmoored and folded slowly and neatly in half, the top part falling inward into the fire and the bottom part angling outward and propping itself against Jacob's house. Burning timbers and bright red embers spilled and settled and sucked oxygen toward them, and huge new flames started licking upward and outward and sideways. Even the weeds and the gravel were on fire. Reacher said,
I think we're 3 for 3. I think we got them all.
Dorothy Coe said,
Jasper's out again. He's heading for Struck.
Reacher watched over the front sight of his rifle. He saw Jasper run for the line of cars, saw him slide into a white pickup, saw him start it up and back it out. It stopped and turned and aimed straight for the driveway. It blew through a shower of sparks right past Jonas's body, and it headed straight toward the two-lane, straight toward Reacher, straight toward the parked black truck. It braked hard and stopped short just behind it, and Jasper scrambled out. He opened the black truck's passenger door and ducked inside. Then a second later, he ducked out again. No key. The key was in Reacher's pocket. Reacher put the phone on the Yukon's hood. Jasper Duncan stood still, momentarily unsure. Distance, maybe 40 yards, which was really no distance at all. Reacher shot him through the head, and he went straight down the same way his brother had before him, leaving a small pink cloud in the air above him, made of pulverized blood and bone, which drifted an inch and then disappeared in the breeze. Reacher picked up the phone and said,